Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Tom, welcome.
Hi.
To episode 50.
That's a big one.
Of We Are the Watchers. Yeah, that means we've done 50 in a row. We haven't had any time off. We're very dedicated to this. But also, we're two episodes away from a 1 year podcasting anniversary.
I think I might get party poppers.
I'll get party pies.
Deal.
Excellent. Tomato or barbecue sauce?
Barbecue.
Okay, right. I'll get both then because I do tomato.
Sure.
I'm feeling a little spooky today because this is the Halloween week. I reckon some people, as soon as it hits October 1st, they're into it.
Oh, over in the States. Ooh. It starts way before that.
Yeah.
The theme parks swap over like early, mid-September.
Mm.
Got to milk it.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, if shops put out Christmas decorations in September here.
Yeah.
Why not throw some Halloween stuff out early as well?
There's a lot of spending to be done.
Oh, yeah.
Get in there early.
And then just go to town.
I bought a French fry costume.
That's awesome. So is it just one French fry or are you like a packet of French fries?
No, it's like a McDonald's pack.
Yeah, that's what I imagine when you first said it. Because that's more recognisable if you're just one French fry.
Yeah, and you pop your head through the middle and wear it like a pair of overalls.
Yeah, comfy and cool.
Yeah, it's a choice.
Now, when you were a kid, was Halloween...
No,
same.
Not allowed. We don't do that. That's an American thing.
It went through, I think, there were Halloween phases here in Australia.
Yeah.
The first one was, there's a Halloween special of my favourite sitcom on at the moment. But of course, you'd watch it in April because we were so far behind. Yeah. Then people started doing Halloween here and there was that outrage. No, we're not America. We're not doing Halloween. And then those people realised that they were just telling kids that they couldn't enjoy themselves dressing up and having lollies or candy. And then I think they went, okay. And now it's just kids having fun.
Yeah, and I think the kids that grew up of the generations being told, no, you can't do it, are the parents now and just don't care.
Yeah, they're kind of vicariously enjoying it.
Yeah, well, I get dressed up with Shay and we go out together.
In your suburb or neighbourhood, whatever, street, are there certain rules? Like, do you just rock up at anybody's door or do people indicate, I don't know, with a jack-o'-lantern or something out the front to say that they're taking part in it?
I don't know, but everyone gets knocked on my run.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, unless I don't like the look of the house or the driveway's too long or something like that. There are some people that will put out things out the front, let you know that they're involved.
Hmm.
There's one dad that always gets some, like, who's way too hardcore costume and scares kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you reckon he would ever invest in a Wear Jaguar outfit?
Oh,
that'd be pretty cool.
If he knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you should, I don't know, sometime in July next year, just sort of slip him the idea.
No, I don't want to make friends with a neighbour.
Fair enough. Because then you got to do the awkward conversations.
Look, I've got a couple of friends that are direct neighbours. That's enough. I don't need to know my whole community.
Yeah.
I don't live in the 50s.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Well, I've been watching a few scary things.
Ooh.
Just to get myself in the mood. Of course, that includes The Walking Dead, which we will talk about a little bit later on in the spoiler section.
Yep.
Good Place as well, just really quickly before, that'll be in the spoiler section as well because I know a lot of people are hanging on to binge it, to binge the whole season. But I have seen a few people are going the Good Place costumes for Halloween.
Sure.
It's fun, you know, going the Janet.
Yep.
Lots of fun.
I would love to rock a Jason.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fun.
And quite easy too, I reckon.
Yeah. One of my friends in the States did Michael for a convention recently.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
You could go the judge.
Sure. Sean is great. Not Sean.
I always just think for as Maya Rudolph.
But. Her name is Jen after Genesis because she's been there since the Big Bang.
You could go the gatekeeper or whatever he was called. You know, the guy that would let you...
Yeah.
let you through to Earth? Because he had a nice outfit.
Like Dave or Phil.
It was a really super plain name. Mm. He looked like a Tim, but I have no way of. Well, I guess I could look it up.
I was very excited because this morning, I love Andy Daly, who is the star of Review. He's going to be on Good Place this coming week.
Ooh, exciting.
I know who. I'm not saying.
Yeah, let's leave it all as a big secret. Yeah. Did you get that info from the Good Place podcast?
No. It was up on. Oh, Andy Daly shared it himself, actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
He must have been a bit psyched.
He was pretty chuffed.
Yeah, into it. Also been watching a few other things that are non-Halloween related. So I don't know. We'll see how our time goes in order to – because my list is actually looking a little too long, but it's all right. That's never a bad thing. Got a fun quiz as well,
yeah.
Which is non Halloween related this time.
Ooh.
But we have to get creative.
Sure.
It's fun.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Few newsy stories. Speaking of Halloween, Halloween's still going gangbusters, the movie that is.
Yes.
Over in the US, it's hit, for October, it's hit 790 million.
Well done.
Insane. I think out of anything we can pick up from this would be that there's going to be another Halloween maybe the next year or two.
Well,
they're going to pump those sequels out again.
Yeah, the guys that made it have already said that they've got a pretty good idea for the sequel in
awesome.
Mind.
Awesome. And Jamie Lee Curtis.
She's back.
I saw her quickly interviewed on the project. I don't even watch the project, but I saw her on it. I was just watching, and she's very cool. I really like her.
Had a lot of time.
Yeah.
She said she'll come back as long as those guys write it. So it was David Gordon Green and Danny McBride who wrote/directed it, who you might know from Eastbound and Down or... Mm. They've done a ton of movies.
They've done all of the things.
Yeah.
I did see that 2014 was the last amazing October/Halloween box office in the US, and that was $757 million. So Halloween's really gone.
I'm hoping this is a return to form for the bigger-than-life slasher because the last 5 years, we'll say, have been dominated by your Conjuring,
mm-hmm.
You know, the Nun, that sort of more scaled back, spooky ghosts, that sort of stuff.
And then, of course, you went through those Paranormal Activity sort of era.
I didn't dig those.
But at least those, you know, the Halloween sort of slasher ones. Yeah, it's scary, but there's a tone there.
And look, the way they're killing teenagers you don't care about, it makes the hero, like the killer, the hero, and that's fun.
Mm. Yeah, it feels more of entertainment rather than we're trying to really scare you. Speaking of scary things, I saw that the Conners, the Roseanne spinoff, it's a few episodes, I think, now. And it's been number one in terms of new comedies for the season. So it's not gone as well ratings-wise as Roseanne, which makes sense. But it's been picked up it's been given 11 episodes now.
Yes, so they'd ordered 10 and they added one more.
So they've got one more. And I did see you were talking about A Million Little Things, that show last week. That's been given, I think, 4 more. Anyway, it's going to get 17 episodes.
Yes, which... standard for a drama now is between 13 and 18.
Mm.
So, yeah, there were a few other pickups that I saw as well. I was very happy to see Million Little Things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see where that goes. Manifest, which is very Lost-ish. It's a plane that disappears for 5.5 years and people that get off may have some sort of thing going on.
Yeah, I saw the preview or a trailer. I know it wasn't the trailer. It was more than that. It was sort of like a preview.
Sure.
And it had me intrigued.
Look, Linz and I are a couple episodes deep. I'm not going to talk about it this week, but I'm quite enjoying that.
So because I get worried about things like that where the premise is so good that their first episode's great, but then the second episode sort of trails off.
Bingo.
But
that's why I held off.
Okay, right. So we'll see how the next couple of episodes might pick up again.
The Rookie has been picked up for more episodes, cool. which is Nathan Fillion as a cop, older gentleman going back to join the force, and Single Parents, which is the one I mentioned with Brad Garrett.
Yeah, yeah.
That's gotten a full season as well.
When you watched some of that, did it feel like it was going to be picked up?
Yeah, yeah. It's high budget, glossy. Mm. It started with firm footing.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Unless you're listening to this in your car or on a bus or... Hang on, we actually really do need roads. Guys, can we get some roads?
What else in the news has grabbed your attention?
So this morning they announced that Bob Saget is coming back to America's Funniest Home Videos.
Which he was the host.
I think he did 8 seasons.
Yes, it feels like.
Well, he's got a new spin-off show called Videos After Dark. And it's going to be the more adult fare.
Okay.
People getting real hurt rather than just falling down.
Almost like Ridiculousness.
Yeah, I'm a touch nervous because I don't know if you've seen any of his comedy over the last, I'll say, 10 or 15 years. It's all about drugs and being incredulously vulgar.
I saw him interviewed and I was, it was that, it wasn't, you know, full on, but I went, oh, he's not the Danny whatever.
Tanner. No, not at all.
Yeah.
There's a great documentary called The Aristocrats.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably 15 years old now or something like that. And The Aristocrats is a really famous joke about a person or a family or someone who goes into a talent agent and tells this story that's ridiculous and ends with the line, and that's why we're called The Aristocrats. And it's a comedian's dream joke because you get to tell the story you want in between and make it as crazy, out there, vulgar, funny, whatever you want.
Mm.
And they probably had 30 or 40 different people telling stories in this film, and Bob Saget's was the worst by a mile.
As in best worst or just
as
worst?
As in the most vulgar thing you've ever heard.
Okay.
Like going way past the boundary of good taste.
Yeah, right.
So seeing him back in the Funniest Home Video format, but with this new personality, could be pretty cool.
It would be cool, but might be jarring for people who just don't know that that's what he's like.
Well, they should catch up.
They might be expecting some Full House, some Old School, and they'll go, whoa.
He was on Entourage a lot. He played Vinny Chase's stoner neighbor, who as Bob Saget.
Oh, that's right.
And he'd just wander into the house with a pair of 18-year-olds and a bong all the time. Michael Keaton was announced this morning that he's going to star in a film about John McAfee, who was the creator of McAfee security systems and stuff like that. So there was a Wired article written about him early last decade, somewhere around there. And basically, he had sold all his stock in the security company and moved to Belize to a small island and had gone paranoid, insane.
He went troppo.
Completely. And you know, thought people were coming to attack him, thought he was being investigated by the government, all this sort of stuff. So this film is, Michael Keaton as the security guy and Seth Rogen as the reporter who gets sent to do this story with him.
So it's set once he's, like, established on the island?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so it's him going down to...
It's not necessarily a biopic, it's just this is...
They're saying it's going to be a very dark comedy.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's great because this John McAfee, he's well worth following on social media because that's someone who is clearly still quite frayed at the edges, has some very interesting opinions on things, but is very smart and predicts the way tech goes an awful lot.
I'm going to start following him.
Yeah.
He sounds intriguing, and the movie sounds like a great premise.
Yeah, I think it'll be great fun. Look, for a while there, Johnny Depp was circling the project.
Okay.
And McAfee himself said no. If Depp gets the role, I'm disavowing anything to do with this film and I'm going to trash it.
So not a fan then, I think we can safely say.
Thanks, John McAfee.
Yeah.
Protecting our computers and our screens.
Well, I quite like the idea of, both of them, even Seth Rogen's pretty.
I think Johnny Depp would just do Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas Part 2.
Yeah, that's true.
It would feel too much Hunter.
Yeah, it's gotten to the point with Johnny Depp now. He's neutral state, or at least... The way he's perceived now is slightly unhinged.
The best description of I heard is he was successful for years because he was a Peter Pan actor.
Yeah.
You know, he was the little boy that never grew up.
Yeah.
And now he's in his 50s and it's creepy and weird.
He suddenly looks older, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know someone who I was worried was going to have that problem was Matt Damon.
Sure.
Because he looks so young for quite a while, and then suddenly he didn't suddenly look old. He just suddenly looked his age. But also at the same time, his career's different. He takes a lot of different roles. Yeah, you're right. And the whole, I think, Johnny Depp being not tied to, but, you know, tied to Tim Burton for quite some time, there was that quirkiness that was ingrained in every character that he was playing because of that. Yeah, and then suddenly he's older and his divorce was messy and so he got that all tarnished. Yeah, I think they've gone well with Michael.
Yeah.
Sir
Michael Keaton.
I mean,
who are you thinking? Michael Sheen?
I was thinking Michael Caine for a second there. I changed
it. He is a sir.
But yeah, Michael Keaton is probably. Having said that, he's connected to Tim Burton as well. I mean, years ago. Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Bit of Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Since then, he's been a bit of a bird man.
Man. Well, look, if this film combines Birdman with The Founder, which was the film about the founding of McDonald's,
yep.
I can really see this. Yeah.
And Michael Keaton's been circling, I think, around Birdman era. He's been circling around those Oscar nominations and stuff.
Yeah.
So if this is done well, he could be up for another nomination. I'm psyched.
Yeah.
Showing, shibby, and somebody stop me. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So a bit of Avengers 4 news.
How much have you got?
I've got a few points.
Okay,
actually.
Cool. Some little tidbits for
so,
us.
So, Catherine Langford, who is an Australian actress, studied in Perth and was on 13 Reasons Why. She's been cast in Avengers 4 in an undisclosed role. Dun, dun, dun.
Can we throw some ideas as to who she could be playing?
So we've heard a lot, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but we've heard that time travel is definitely going to be part of the film.
Mm.
And whether that's traveling back and forth in time or whether that's a time jump and then people go back to try and fix the past, I don't know.
Mm.
Pardon me. I have heard some rumours that the film could be set 5 years from the snap, so rather than picking up straight afterwards and everyone trying to put their pieces back together, we see what the world is like in 5 years' time.
A world without those superheroes.
Yes, and who, you know, did Rocket stay behind and join the Avengers because the rest of the Guardians were gone? And, you know, these sorts of questions. Part of that thinking is perhaps we can see some future Avengers, and one of those future Avengers that we know well from the comics is Scott Lang, Ant-Man's daughter, who we saw a lot in the two Ant-Man films, and in Ant-Man 2 she specifically says, when I grow up I want to be a superhero like you. So she becomes a character named Stature, and instead of shrink, she doesn't really shrink too much, but she grows big, like way bigger than
Honey,
Ant-Man
I Blew
does.
Up the Kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
So a 5-year skip from where we saw her in Ant-Man 2 should put her around 18, 19.
And which is, about right with the casting.
Yes. So it would be a very cool way for them to introduce the young Avengers, which if Marvel wanted to do a YA teen romance drama film with superheroes.
And they would, I reckon, be able to pull it off.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's thinking it could be Cassie Lang. It could be Kate Bishop, who is the second Hawkeye, the female Hawkeye that takes over.
Yeah, okay.
She's a very sassy debutante. Is that a word?
Yeah, debutante, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's a bit of a socialite.
Yeah, right.
Very good with a bow and arrow. So there's a bunch of people that it could be, but they're being quite cagey with her, so
of
it
course.
Feels like it's going to be something. And we've had a few people revealed that have been in previous films that are no longer alive, that are potentially involved in the film. So the guy that played Crossbones, who was the bad guy for part of Captain America, Winter Soldier and Civil War, he blows up in Civil War. Apparently he's going to be involved somehow.
Interesting.
Tilda Swinton from Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Is supposedly did a single day's worth of filming.
Okay.
So I don't
know.
We
could have some flashbacky moments.
Well, I could see it being a flashback, but I could also see Doctor Strange doing some sort of astral projection.
Yeah,
and
having
talking to her spirit.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
But he's got snapped, so.
He did too.
Maybe she's in the Soul Stone.
She could be.
There's all sorts of options. And the other one, Gwyneth Paltrow got in a little bit of trouble. She posted.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Did you see the photo she posted?
I saw the photo.
In a suit?
Yeah, yeah.
In the rescue suit.
Why did she decide to do that?
I don't know, but that's completely rogue posting that up. So, yeah, in the comics, she gets an Iron Man suit of her own that's called Rescue. It has no offensive capabilities. It's all just about protection and defense.
Okay.
So in the same way that Iron Man is the midpoint, mm-hmm. you've got War Machine on one end and he's all decked out, ready for war.
Let's go.
Rescue is at the opposite end of that.
Right.
So that kind of ties in with that 5 years later theory. If we're seeing a new form of the Avengers, then
she would be a part of it.
Yes.
That's cool. I like only getting little tidbits because it means you can sort of throw out some ideas and start speculating.
The other idea I heard that is pretty sharp and I hope is the case, that we will see Professor Hulk. If it's 5 years in the future, which is where Hulk and Banner have kind of merged and come together and found agreement with one another. So Hulk is suddenly a lot smarter and wears glasses.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yep.
And a cardigan. A nice cardi would be good.
Puny Hulk. Solve quantum mechanics.
Yeah, well, I feel like in the last Avengers, in Infinity War, I should say, you could almost look at the Hulk's part of that movie as a setup to more stuff yes. for him, yep. for the character to evolve.
Well, I think it's a nice continuation from Thor Ragnarok, especially, mm. which is where Hulk was in the driver's seat the whole time, and he's clearly indignant about being shoved back into Banner.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I like that. That's cool.
You got any other news?
Yeah, I just saw there was a casting notice that went up on a Norwegian site for actors called Stagepool for the HBO Game of Thrones prequel. I don't know how much we can actually get out of this, but they're looking for a lot of different races. So they were looking for an older male who's going to be a series regular. They wanted a black actor. There were quite a few roles that would not be series regulars that they wanted as Caucasians.
Right.
They got quite specific with quite a few series regular roles, wanting genuine Scandinavian, Germanic or Eastern European looking actors.
Okay.
They were males in their 30s, males in their 40s and some females in their 30s and 20s, and they wanted all of them to be Scandinavian looking. So, interesting.
Any mention of people with scaled skin?
No scaled skin yet, unfortunately, but apparently they were looking for younger actors in another round of casting okay. a few months ago. So they're starting to build up what they want. It also kind of indicates if they're looking for Scandinavian actors, that perhaps they're not big Hollywood names.
Sure.
Which is what, when you think back to Game of Thrones in the beginning, how many of those actors did you actually
know? Yeah, you had a couple of stunt casts. Yeah. Your Peter Dinklage,
you knew your
Ned.
Oh, what's her name? Cersei's Lena Headley, is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew her. I knew her face. But yeah, that'll be interesting. Interesting.
Mm. So Timeless, which I've talked about before, is getting a 2-hour wrap-up finale. They announced the date, December 20. What a nice Christmas present.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they've been filming that the last few weeks. Cool. There's been some cool photos coming out and stuff like that. I think it's going to be a bit of fun. Hopefully it ends on a positive note.
If not, that's going to break everyone's Christmas.
Yep.
And make you very sad.
Everyone's going to be cranky.
They'll be the Christmas Grinch. Any other news stories?
I got one last one.
Yeah,
so I think I've mentioned before that Jordan Peele of Key and Peele and the director and writer of Get Out, he is the brains behind the new version of The Twilight Zone that's coming up, and he's going to be the host as well.
Oh, cool.
Well, they announced a few days ago that Adam Scott, who is Trevor on The Good Place and was Ben on Parks and Recreation.
He was in Reese Witherspoon's husband in Big Little Lies.
Yeah, he's just all over.
He's done a whole lot of stuff. He was even in the last version of Big Hot American Summer.
Big Hot Wet American Summer.
Yeah, yeah. He was in that. I think he took Bradley Cooper's role.
I think so.
In the last movie. Anyway, but yeah, he's in everything. You would know him.
Well, he's going to be in Twilight Zone.
Perfect.
And, well, it's an ensemble cast of people that do specific episodes.
Which is what Twilight Zone was always about.
Correct.
Yeah.
And his episode is titled Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, which if you've seen the original Twilight Zone series or the film, there's a segment called Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, which in the original starred William Shatner as a guy going insane on a plane because there's a gremlin on the wing.
Cool.
And in the remake, the film version, John Lithgow played the role. So you get people that can play straight but also go very, very big and have a lot of fun with it.
And I can see him being just the same.
Yes. But the interesting tweak is that it's now Nightmare at 30,000, not 20,000 feet. Which lends me to think it's not just going to be a straight remake. Maybe this is in space, or it feels like there's going to be some other element, and you don't cast him without it being funny. That said, I have seen him in some horror movies.
Well, Big Little Lies, he was not hilarious at all. That was very serious. But do you feel like Twilight Zone? I mean, I sort of would be under the impression that each episode obviously is going to be a different story, but feel different as well. So you could. They don't all need to be funny. They don't all need to have comedic twinges to it.
They've all got to have a different tone.
Which I think is
going
to be really exciting.
You just need to walk away asking questions at the end of each one. As long as they hit that, then, you can have whatever style. Twilight Zone jumped all over the place.
Which I'm trying to think of like an equivalent now, and the only sort of one that's jumping in my head right now is Black Mirror.
It's the only one.
You know, it's always got a super, not serious, but it's got a heavy tone.
Well, look, I grew up loving Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's a program. They don't do anthology shows too much. You've got Tim and Eric, who used to do Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job. They have Tim and Eric's bedtime stories. And then there's a show from the UK called Inside Number 9, which is two-thirds of the guys from The League of Gentlemen.
Oh, cool.
And the only thing that ties the episodes together is that they're all set in a residence or an office or something that is number 9.
Okay. Well, I like that premise. I've never heard of it. I'm interested to check it out.
Great program. Some of the episodes are slow and feel like they drag, and then the last 5 seconds smash you in the face with a brick. And you're like, oh, wow, okay, now I understand what happened. They had one episode where where a character was trying to break in and rob a house, and there is no dialogue for 22 minutes.
Do you notice? Or is it just two? Yeah, okay.
But you end up like...
Yeah. Super stressed out.
Yep.
Edge of your seat kind of thing.
While still laughing.
Yeah, perfect.
That's enough news from
me. Yeah, I said I was watching some spooky stuff and wouldn't even say spooky for some of them. I decided to check out what the new iteration of Sabrina the Teenage Witch is like, which is The Chilling Adventures.
Chilling Adventures. How's that cat? Is Salem in the house?
I saw Salem.
Yeah?
Yeah, Salem's, from what I've seen so far, Salem appears to not be a puppet at all yet.
I think it's just a cat, right?
It's just an actual cat that wanders around. Salem was an actual cat in some of Sabrina the Teenage Witch as well. But often it was the puppet. I've only seen one episode. Salem has not spoken yet.
Do you think there's going to be something like, spoilers if you've not seen Harry Potter 3, which came out years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think it's going to be like Scabbers?
Yeah.
Ron's rat, where Salem's actually a person. Was a wizard or a witch transformed?
Well, Salem is exactly that originally.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Are we going to find out that someone's trapped in a cat body?
I would. There was actually, there's a character in the first episode who's sort of like a family member, but he was sitting up on, you know, like the kitchen bench, and he'd move over when someone would get close, and then he'd go and sit on a different part of the kitchen bench. And I thought, oh, that's Salem. But then they introduced the actual cat, and I got really confused as to what it is. But now I'm wondering if there's a connection between it. Like I said, I've only seen the first episode.
I reckon you might be onto something. You should keep an eye on whether they share a scene.
I will do that.
Because they could be seeding that
early.
Could
easily,
now.
Yeah. It's got a very different tone to the 90s. Was it 90s? Yeah.
Yeah,
it was late
90s.
Yeah,
because Clarissa explains it all as early
90s.
That was
first, that's right, and then she went straight to that. It was very much a sitcom. but they've got some pretty cool actors playing the aunts. Now, if you remember the aunts there, they were, you had sort of more like the straight-laced one.
Yes.
And then you had like the kind of zany, hilarious one.
Is another very vulgar comedian.
So you've got Miranda Otto, the Aussie actress, as the
straight-laced
one. And then there she is, Miss Lucy. What's her last name? Davis. Lucy Davis is Hilda Spellman.
From
The Office, heaps of stuff. Wasn't she in, she was in Wonder Woman, do you remember?
She was, as the friend.
Yeah.
The plucky friend.
That's right. She was, what else has she
Shaun
been
of
in?
The Dead.
Shaun of the Dead, that's right. But I feel like her role in Shaun of the Dead was more sort of like, so you could go, it's Lucy Davis from The Office. Because she was sort of with all of the other people from...
Yeah, she was with Black Books.
Black Books, the neighbour from The Royals, she was... Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Chilling Tales, or whatever it's called, of Sabrina, is a show that I would get into heavily if I was younger.
Okay, so it's like a Riverdale?
It's so Riverdale-ish. It's going to be successful. But Sabrina, I was watching it going, I know her, or else she just looks like someone. I know. And then I thought, no, I've got to look it up. And she is Don Draper's daughter Mad Men. Yeah, she's in it. So she's playing Sabrina, the main character. Great cast. And the baddie at the moment, she was in Green Wing. She was Sue, the wacky Scottish like HR lady, who was hilarious. And I noticed her straight away. And I can tell you, she has barely aged. She looks like she's older. Like I can't see any work done.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, she's got good Scottish genes going on there. Doing an American accent, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I think the Scottish accent would be a little confusing in the whole scheme.
Ugh, Sabrina.
Having said that, Lucy Davis does an English accent.
Okay.
So,
it's fucking magic.
I'm going to keep watching it just because of the stellar cast.
Nice.
Grab some turpentine, acetone, and benzene. That's all you'll need to make dip and survive the upcoming cartoon apocalypse. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Well, look, I haven't seen too much new stuff this week, but if we're talking scary gear...
Yes, please.
All right, I rewatched a movie that I watched last year and I loved it so much. It's called Train to Busan.
I don't think I've heard of this.
It's a South Korean horror movie, zombies. There is a father who is reluctantly taking his daughter on her birthday to see her mother, who lives further away in Busan. And they're basically on... I don't think it's quite bullet train speed, but they're on a real fast train while the zombie apocalypse happens.
Nice premise.
And so the...
Nice premise.
Yeah, the train driver's got to decide, does he stop at stations and potentially let people out? And then they very quickly learn that that's a very bad idea and keep moving. And then no one's answering on the other end of the train line of, are we safe to continue to Busan? And... It subverts a lot of tropes. So there's one character that emerges very quickly that you think, here's the hero. Nope. Goes out pretty quick.
Cool.
And yeah. A lot of the tropes, any way you expect it to zig, it zags the opposite way.
Nice.
So it really holds up. It's great.
So last year when you watched it, was it new or has it been around for a while?
It's about 2-3 years.
It's not that old, yeah.
No, it's not that old. Yeah. Fast zombies.
Now they're not your favorite.
They're not my favorite, but when used well, in this situation, because the train is moving so fast, it makes a lot more sense to have fast-moving zombies.
And, you know, should we stop at the train station? Because once those doors are open, danger is immediately there.
Oh, yeah. And, like, slowly but surely, the carriages start getting knocked off one by one, and so they've got to keep barricading doors. And
cool.
They can't really see you in darkness, so tunnels become very important.
So it's the opposite in other zombie worlds that they make up, because darkness, the zombies are faster, more powerful, more of them.
It just turns them off.
Cool.
So
that's
they go
awesome.
Into a tunnel, and if they make noise, different story.
Yeah, okay.
But if you can sneak through, climb through guardrails and
you're
stuff
okay.
like that, it's pretty hardcore.
Oh, I want to watch it. What's it called again?
Train to Busan.
Okay, let's all watch that. That'll be our homework for the next couple of weeks.
If you watch that and you want to keep it, if you enjoyed Shaun of the Dead, make sure you see Juan of the Dead, which is, I think it's Cuban. It's a Cuban zombie film.
It sounds amazing already.
Yeah, Juan of the Dead. I won't spoil anything about that because there's some great twists in that one.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Has it got a spot of comedy in it?
It's very funny.
Okay, good.
It's almost slapstick.
Speaking of slapstick, I decided because it just came up on Facebook that it was on SBS On Demand. It's from, I think, 2014. It's a few years old now. Zombievers. So they're beavers who are zombies.
Yes.
Or Zombievers. Yeah. It starts off with these two guys driving down a road. They look like tradies, workmen sort of thing. And one's driving and he's texting as he drives. And the other guy, the passenger, who I, within 30 seconds, went, is that? Is it? It's John Mayer. John Mayer's in it just for this moment.
Sure.
And he's texting and John Mayer goes, have you seen that deer on the road? Yeah, I've seen it. I don't think you have, though. There's a deer on the road. They crash and then some of the... they've got toxic waste in the back of their truck, of course. It falls into a pond or a lake or a river nearby and then the beavers become toxic zombie beavers.
Damned everyone.
Hilarious. It's so... You know how you were talking about, you know, killing off all the teenagers? It's pretty much what it does.
Yep.
But in the most ridiculous way.
It's very schlocky. It's very piranha.
You just laugh at it the whole time. The whole movie's just super light, funny, and Halloween-y, and the end is brilliant.
Nice.
Stick around. If you think the movie, if you're like, oh, I've got no time for this, just stay for the end. You'll enjoy. You'll enjoy how it finishes. And I just watched that on demand, but I'm sure you could watch it any other way as well.
Sure. Well, look, do you like spooky sounds?
What, like as in owls in the background, bit of chains, chains crinkle?
Sure. Clanging. Those are good examples. Any spooky sounds. I don't know. Have you seen A Quiet Place?
I haven't seen A Quiet Place.
Oh, boy. So I saw that in the cinemas a while ago, and I didn't talk about it much because... it stuck with me. So I rewatched it with headphones on the other day, and it is a great headphone experience.
So is it real? With the headphones, does it give you more scare?
I found yes, because... So do you know the premise of the film?
I don't know the premise.
Okay, so it's John Krasinski, who used to be on The Office. He directed it.
Oh, cool.
Starring himself, Emily Blunt.
Wife.
Yes, and their two children. The daughter who is older is deaf. And we don't find out anything about what happened, but the end of the world happened and aliens invaded and they rip up, they just quickly destroy anything that makes sound.
Wow.
So this film is set 2 years after everything fell apart or something like that.
So they've been, as a family, surviving.
Yes. And there's a tragic event at the very start of the film that sets the tone for the rest, but it's all about being quiet. Very little happens. It's all set in one farmyard. There's a barn. They don't go far away from that setting. Emily Blunt's character is pregnant and about to give birth.
She's going to have a quiet birth.
And it's about how do you deal with that sort of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you... Even The Walking Dead, often Judith, you're like, that's the quietest baby I've ever heard.
This baby's not quiet. But, you know, this film, like, you can knock over a glass and that's enough noise for one of them to come running.
Jeez.
They're awful monsters.
Wow. Yeah. A Quiet Place.
It's really good. Like, there's a very good chance it's going to be nominated, if not win some Oscars coming up. It's one of those sort of elevated horror.
Yeah,
you know, we respect this one. It's
mean.
Done something different with the medium.
Yeah.
But the sound design, like, there are patches of this film that are completely silent. I can't remember the last time I've watched a film that plays with sound in such a way of the absence. So it doesn't even put a music bed underneath scenes. It's just silent. And you might hear breathing, slight shuffling, and that's it.
Isn't that interesting? Because usually, you know, TV shows and movies use soundtracks to steer our emotions in a particular way, and to take all of that away and still be able to send you on that emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
That's so clever.
I think it steers you in a completely different way because the absence of what's always there.
Does it make you feel uneasy?
That's why I say I didn't talk about it too much before, because I left feeling bothered by the film in a really good way, but it really stuck with me. And it's you feel, it forces you to feel a lot of empathy for these characters because you're experiencing that I can't make sound because there's no sound here.
That's fascinating.
And they speak in sign language.
Because
they already had a head up because they had a deaf daughter. So they'd learned before.
That's super clever.
Very, very clever.
What a great premise. Yeah, I mean, Quiet Place and Zombievers, both up there.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I also am about three episodes into the show that a lot of people have been talking about in the lead up to Halloween, Haunting of House Hill.
Oh, yes. How is it?
I watched the first episode at night about 9:30.
Mm.
The jump scares were getting me.
Right.
And I thought, come on, don't let a show affect you like this. It sort of sets up the premise. It's about a family who move into this, huge house because the parents are people who renovate a property.
Sure.
And then sell it and move on and renovate the next rundown place and move on. But something happens here. Weird stuff is going on. It's obviously haunted. And then it keeps cutting to now when the children are adults. And each episode, at least so far, has focused on a different character
okay.
from the family. And you learn a little bit not only about what they're doing now, what happened to them back then, sort of. We're not getting as much with the flashbacks. I think they'll slowly start to give you more information as to why things have happened.
Sure.
But it's interesting the way that this horror series of a haunted house is told through how being haunted and having that experience has affected these different people in different ways. The characters feel quite, some of them less fleshed out, but some feel very fleshed out.
That's cool.
And I like the way that they're telling that story. So even if you're not heavily into the horror genre, I think if you watch it maybe during the day or something,
yeah.
because the story there and how they're telling the story is really intriguing. It's very good.
You know what's funny? So you're talking about having to watch horror at certain times of day.
Yes.
That's what I'm like with having to watch, not having to, but watching A Million Little Things. Of just.
When do you have to watch it?
When I'm prepared to have my guts torn out emotionally.
Yeah, right.
The show makes me cry. Yeah. Guaranteed it's going to make me cry. Yeah. So I completely understand with what you're saying. If you have to be in the right mind frame.
You have to be ready for
it. You have to know that you've got enough time to wind down before bed afterwards.
Absolutely. It's all about the wind down.
Yeah, because you don't want to be thinking scary thoughts in bed.
Exactly. Mm. So I reckon if you're still feeling a bit of Halloween stuff, but you want a real, real good character arc and storytelling experience, check it out.
Nice. Nice. I watched one other film a few nights ago,
mm.
documentary called Turning It Around, The Story of East Bay Punk.
Sounds cool.
It was all about punk in San Francisco Bay in the 70s, 80s. Very early 90s. It kind of finishes with Green Day, Kaplunk starting to go big.
Yeah.
Really interesting stuff. It's all about counterculturalism and how, I don't know, San Francisco is already a counterculture city. Mm. So whereas punk that sprung up in Boston or other areas was about fighting back against the man, this was about, a lot of it was fighting back about needless creativity and messing with formats.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because punk as a genre is quite stripped bare.
Yeah, it's not about long guitar solos. It's not about drum fills. It's not about the extra garnishes and stuff. It's about finding the most simple pattern
high
that gets
energy.
Your message across.
Yeah. Interesting. Did you find yourself not only, piecing together bits of punk culture that you knew but separately, but they were sort of tying them in, but were you also discovering new people that you had no idea?
Yeah, look, a lot of it was focusing on bands that maybe never made it to Epitaph okay. or Bad Religion. Those guys scooped up a lot of these bands and helped them get label deals, not necessarily major label deals, mm-hmm. but get some exposure.
Mm.
And, the people from Operation Ivy talking about the opening acts that they had for a few weeks of guys that then just split up and were never seen again.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it was very interesting from that way of seeing how this whole community came together over a hating community.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you think about the time that punk started, you know, that 70s era, for me, as someone who hasn't explored it too much, but you're looking at San Francisco in the late 60s, early 70s as hippies, you know, that whole sort of love and peace. And we know that punk was a not so much a reaction, but it's just it's the nature of how music works and how music genre and popularity works. That if something, for example, you had the 90s, late 90s, well, actually through most of the 90s, you had grunge or like heavy rock stuff, a lot of guitars and whatnot. And then the 2000s was more pop. A little bit of R&B, you know, the R&B was starting to build and become more mainstream. So you could imagine, yeah, the whole hippie culture in San Fran, people are just like,
Yeah, basically no. one neighborhood went far out. Have you heard these Sex Pistols guys? And then a few, and not long after, have you heard what the Ramones are doing out of New York? And then just fused the two sides of punk together. So, yeah, as I said, like, I was a little disappointed because where it ended, I thought we were going to get the beginnings of ska. Mm. I mean, this is a 2.75-hour film.
Did it keep you the whole time?
No.
Okay.
There were parts where I checked out.
Uh-huh.
It was really long, and they'd be talking about a band that I'd never heard of that had no great cultural impact, but they'd still give them 10 minutes as a spotlight. So I thought we were going to get the beginnings of, you know, maybe your Mighty Mighty Bosstones mm-hmm. or just some SoCal punk.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, it
sounds like they were quite area specific.
It was very, very area specific. However, they did give Tim Armstrong and Rancid an awful lot of love, which brought me way back in at the end.
Good, good, good. Do you think it could have been, would it have been better as maybe a two-parter or a three-parter?
Yeah, I kind of would have liked to have seen it address the different eras of punk because, you know, they covered off the foundation, the growth and the collapse.
Because punk hasn't actually gone away.
Punk will never die.
Mm-mm.
No.
It's still around. We're still in San Fran. What was it called again?
It's called Turn It Around, The Story of East Bay Punk.
Wouldn't mind watching some of that. Yeah. Maybe not the full two.
I'm sure you can find bits and pieces on YouTube.
And I've got one other show I want to talk about.
All right.
Only because it's been on for a couple of weeks now, and I feel like I've been able to watch a bit to understand it. So I know Channel 10 for a while now has been screening Ambulance, the UK version.
Sure.
Which they basically follow paramedics around almost like 24 hours in emergency, but it's 24 hours within not only the trucks themselves, the ambulances themselves, but also the call centre.
Sure. Okay.
They've made an Australian version. It's exactly the same format. They've obviously just bought the rights to it. And what I remember from the English one and what they've managed to pick up with a slight Australian twist, but I think the English and the Aussies are pretty similar with the way they approach stuff like this, particularly like police and, you know, those first call emergency people, is how caring these AMBOs are, these paramedics, and how I think a specific type of person it takes to become.
Sure, there's no way I could AMBO. Do that.
I couldn't do it. I honestly couldn't do it. The things that they go into, you know, the places they go, the car accidents, or even just they've just got this tiny little. I remember a couple of weeks ago there was a young baby or young child who had swallowed something. The mother wasn't sure what it was. Could have been like Drano, like something really yucky, you know. And they're like, and they're getting info from the call center as to what's going on. But even there, like, they're not quite sure of the exact situation when they go into these places, and have to bring along not only you know, we are the professionals, we're here and we're hearing acting fast, but they've got to try and do it in a really calm manner,
sure,
so that not only if the patient is conscious or not, but the people around it, you need to calm them.
Yeah,
there was another situation where they went into a place where a mate just showed up at his friend's house, and his friend, who was in his 30s, was dead. Like, he'd just sit. Like, so they had to
Console.
Yeah. You know, they sat with him for quite a while. Like, the poor guy, you know, well, and the poor guy that died. But these people have to they're going from job to job to job to job to job about, you know, having to deal with people who are not at their worst. It's not sort of like they've done something terrible and the police have had to come, but it's just people who are at their most vulnerable.
Sure, people experiencing harrowing moments.
It's such a powerful show. It's definitely not something you could binge watch because you leave it going, that was... they always leave you with the real sort of the heartstrings final story. But I think it's important for people to watch stuff like that so that they just know that those people are out there. And if you ever have a problem where you need them, these are the people that are going to come to you and that they actually do care about their job and the people they're taking care of. Such a good show.
Sounds awesome.
Ambulance on Channel 10.
Nice.
Yeah. And I know that they've got their streaming, you know, you can catch it anytime as well. So if you get a moment, definitely the Aussie and the UK versions are great.
Okay.
They're both amazing. We will have a spoiler section very soon, but I reckon we should probably crack in quickly to talk about our quiz.
Let's do it.
This is a fun one.
I'm glad. I don't want one that's laborious.
No, it's not laborious, but we do have to work for it. It's called Give Me a Synopsis. I've come up with a title for a TV show pilot, and we have to pitch it to the network, so we've got to come up with synopsis.
Okay.
So we've got a few, not too many, because I thought we'd probably be stuck on a few for a little bit.
Sure.
Gravel Road.
Gravel Road.
Now, I'm wondering if we can set this somewhere out in a country town, maybe a little deserty.
Yep.
And the gravel road is the road that leads in and out of the town.
Sure.
And it's called Gravel Road. You know how a lot of maybe small towns in the US are called Main Street?
Yep.
But this one's called Gravel Road. I think it should be set in Australia, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a gravel road. And it's a murder mystery.
It's a murder mystery.
Someone's died in Gravel Town.
Gravel Town.
Gravel Town. And Gravel Road is the road that it happens on, so it's the main road.
Sure. And can one of these characters perhaps be a Darren Hinch-style former radio presenter who has a very gravelly voice? Gravitas.
Yeah. As long as we get Jackie Weaver there, we'll probably be able to pick up some American, maybe Netflix deals.
And what's the mystery that kicks all this off? Is there a body discovered? Is a bank robbed? What's
I think it's an older gentleman who has had like a corner store, like one of those convenience shops for years and years and years, and one day he just doesn't open up.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, where's Neville?
That's odd.
Nev, they call him. He's missing. So then the town cop has to go to his house.
Yes.
Knock on it. Nev, you awake? Dead.
Died or murdered?
Murdered.
Murdered.
Bullet through his head.
Oh.
I know, sorry about that. Bit graphic, but...
But no weapon.
No weapon.
Oh,
can't find
murder.
Anything. Don't know where... So they have to go... It goes through everybody in the town and becomes such a big story that Darren Hinch is there doing his gravel voice. Gravel Road.
Probably giving the killer the exposure that the killer actually wants.
I reckon you've got Aaron Pedersen. Is that his name? Pedersen? A famous Aussie actor who does serious sort of roles. Mm. He'd be doing it as well.
Mm.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I like it.
Gravel Road.
Gravel Road.
What about Never Leave Home Without It?
Oh, Never Leave Home Without It. That's a reboot of Don't Forget Your Toothbrush. It's a live format show where people unknowingly are about to be sent off to bad places.
Yes.
Not ideal holiday location.
No, they have no idea where they're going.
And you've got to prepare, you're allowed one small backpack of goods to bring with you, and the most survivalist of the backpacks revealed on stage gets sent somewhere good, but all the poorly prepared people get sent to bad
place. They end up, in those horrible hostels, you know, and the room is more like a dormitory and there's like 30 people.
Yep, and there's only two things to do in town, including the swimming pool. The swimming pool's closed.
Yes.
Pool's shut.
We've got to go into the museum, which is not really a museum because it's a museum of pasta shapes.
Oh.
And it's not in Italy.
No.
Sound horrendous.
How many different bow tie shapes can you look at?
Only so many. And finally, because I thought we'd only go through three, Aiming Low.
Aiming Low.
Comedy.
Oh, Aiming Low. Is, Aiming Low. She's a famous Japanese actress who moves to Hollywood trying to make it big.
And hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues with Aiming Low.
Oh, that's amazing. Yes. And there would be, she would end up at her, at a family friend's house, staying with her parents' friends from years and years ago, who were so heavily ingrained with the mother country that they've never really gotten into what Hollywood is all about. But, you know, she's desperately trying to become a more American. She's trying to do the accent and everything, and they're not having any of it. So it's like you've got that opposites.
Oh,
it's crazy. They're gonna butt heads.
When is it set? Is it modern day? Is it? Do we? Is it? Did she come over after all the hype around Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
So you mean like when would when? Early 2000s.
Yeah, because all these shows that you know you're fresh off the boat. Yeah. Your Goldbergs. When they pick a certain time, it gives them nostalgia to play with.
It's not a bad idea. 2003.
And her brother is an underground Tamagotchi salesman.
So it's been alive for 21 years.
Yeah, Black Label.
Be amazing. Aiming Low.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
All right, it's time for spoilers. This has been a longish podcast, but there's so much to talk about. So we'll try and get through these spoilers quickly.
Yeah.
What do you want to do first? Do you want to do Walking Dead or Good Place?
You choose.
Let's do Good Place.
Okay, let's do it.
They're doing a touch of a reboot again.
I know, Donkey Dog.
It's so
Donkey
good.
Dog was, Donkey Dog was so great.
He was such a great character.
And I'm on board for this new direction for the show. If you can't save your own soul, go and save
let's
other people.
Let's go save everybody else. Exactly. Mm. I am still waiting for more of The Bad Place people to come along and do stuff.
I have a theory that later this season, only because I know Lost so well and the show follows the format of Lost a great deal, that I feel like we need to have an episode that's basically the equivalent of the others, of what's happening in The Bad Place while this is all happening up here. And I feel that they're setting it up so later in the season we will get one.
Wouldn't be bad.
Sean
to be able
trying to find Trevor.
Because we haven't seen them for a while.
We haven't seen Sean since the
like the
premiere,
first
and
episode?
Trevor got knocked out at the end of the second.
I think so. Yeah, no, that, it's
and
been a while
seen
since we've
like
checked
the judge
in.
Since the third
for a couple
episode.
Of episodes now.
Yeah, so there's been two episodes with no heaven or hell interference.
Janet is still for me this season. It's Janet. It's all about
it.
Janet. Oh, although Jason's pretty good.
Sound more about Chidi.
Chidi, you're enjoying the Chidi ride?
With him falling apart last week and then very half-heartedly pulling it together this week. I'm so on board.
What about
with
him doing the reenactment, like the practice sessions? They were hilarious.
That's so good. And when accidentally ends up proposing to her. How did I think this would work out?
Hey, no, this is Eleanor. I'm being her now. Come on.
How good was the bit where Eleanor was in the simulation?
Instead of Chidi.
Yeah, and touched the hand and was just like, what is
are we
going to
do this? It was so good.
Yep.
This season, apart from the accent, which I liked your theory last week.
But I think we've been shown now that he's broken up with Simone.
She's gone.
Well, we think she's gone.
Well, she could be back. The Good Place is too hard to predict what's going to happen because it always goes somewhere completely weird.
And they pull the rug out every four
every
or five
time.
Episodes.
Yeah. It's brilliant. That's how it keeps it fresh. And I'm just along for the ride.
So next week we're seeing Tahani try and do something with her sister.
With her sister, yeah, who we haven't seen since
season 2 when the statue fell.
That's right, yeah.
And then also Eleanor is going off to confront her not-quite-as-dead mother.
That's right.
I'm interested to learn what else Michael knows because Michael and Janet know all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they've only met these people 3 days ago.
Yeah.
it's a super short window
for them to be 100% on board trust.
So there's no reason why Eleanor would have said, "Are my parents in hell?" You know, yeah. It wouldn't have come up for Michael to answer that question for her. So it'd be interesting to see what other things come up in future.
I'm also interested to see who her mother's going to be played by. I hope it's someone great.
So we've seen her before in the past. Yeah, she showed up at...
Is that in the first season?
First and second season. She's a massive drunk.
Oh, that's right.
And at the father's funeral, she shows up drunk and hitting on Eleanor's boyfriend.
That's right. I forgot about that. Great show. I'm so glad we're nowhere near the end of this season yet.
Yeah, I think...
Yet.
I think it's either 13 or 16 episodes.
Yeah. We're definitely not hitting the 10. All right, so we're excited about that. And The Walking Dead, I just want to preface this with the whole lead-up to this season, where they announced that Andrew Lincoln was leaving, and that was the whole thing, and they told us how many episodes he was going to be in.
And on AMC, before each episode, they've been having the countdown.
I just couldn't quite figure out why until I watched it, until the end of the episode. And I went, if they'd left this as a surprise, as a secret, that suddenly Rick was dead, I think there would have been a strong chance that they would have lost way more of the audience than they're already going to lose.
I completely agree. I love the fact that it was such a piss weak, 1 second mistake.
Exactly.
Because that's really all it would take.
That's all it is. That's so next.
I'm going to say he's not dead yet.
He's not dead yet, but
Maggie is nearby because Maggie was heading towards Alexandria, hadn't been stopped.
And how many more episodes has Maggie got? Because not doing that countdown because we don't know for sure.
Next week is Andrew Lincoln's guaranteed last, and Maggie's is the week after Lauren Cohen's is that.
Okay.
But they've been quite open that it may not be death for her. So I think she'll be off and come back later.
Mm.
I know that next week it looks like Maggie gets to confront Negan. And that may continue into the week after and then explain where she's at.
Yeah. I think that because they've been setting that up and we've had the Rick and Daryl in a hole together.
Yep.
So they have worked themselves out. You know, they're calling each other brother.
That was a really good scene. I think it was the most lines Daryl's had in 3 or 4 seasons.
That's what I thought after last season where, he just made noises the whole time. He actually got to speak.
And clearly made a point that Rick finally heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like it crystallized everything that's been happening the last few episodes with Daryl.
Oh, absolutely. Really nicely. I felt like that storyline, you know, the Rick and Daryl situation has been cleared. Michonne is busy being conflicted, and that will open up. With Rick going, that will open up Michonne to become a warrior again.
Yep.
Quite nicely. But she will tackle with it simply because she doesn't want Negan to be right. And that's what Negan told her.
Will something happen to Judith? They've already shown that she's sniffling.
Yeah, maybe.
Do you think they'd cop out and have her get pneumonia and die?
And she's just gone.
Yeah.
And she's just gone, maybe. Or would they just go, Negan, can you just look after Judith for a little bit?
I've had a crazy thought that maybe instead of ending up killing Negan, maybe Maggie breaks him out and the two of them...
Do you reckon Negan will be gone for a bit?
At some point, Negan has to get out of that jail.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's a matter of does he break out, does someone leave it open intentionally for him, or does someone break out alongside him?
Also, where's Dwight?
Dwight's off looking for his missus.
They said that, but we haven't seen him. You know, I thought we'd check in with him.
You know Dwight will show up with Lucille at some point.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to find the bat and come back in.
What? Negan's need to see Lucille again was almost comical.
I felt like they laid it on a bit thick.
They've
covered this stuff a lot in the comics in that it's his only connection to his dead wife, and that's why he's obsessed with it.
I understood that, you know, that he was talking about his wife beforehand, and then, he's like, can I see her?
Spoiler from the comic.
Yeah.
At one point, when Negan's basically put on a work crew to help, and they're killing a bunch of zombies.
Mm.
And I can't remember exactly, so I could be wrong here, but I think it's Dwight that's, like, Negan's about to get killed, and Dwight smashes a zombie in the head with Lucille to save him, and Lucille shatters into pieces.
Oh, no.
And Negan falls apart.
Oh, no.
Groveling on the ground, screaming in tears. By the next issue, he's back, and it seems to fix his mental state.
Oh.
Getting rid of Lucille turns him back to the light a bit.
Yeah, back to the non-crazy Negan.
Yeah.
I also am wondering, when Dwight comes back, will he fix the whole saviors issue?
Don't think so.
Okay.
He's look, in the comic he does, but in the comic he's a former soldier.
And he's so he definitely has military
has full military training, and he just basically whips them into an army. Yeah, I don't see it. Look, the show has Daryl, and Daryl is fulfilling it. Like, Dwight in the comics is Daryl, and fulfilling, you know, that right-hand man role for Rick. Though they're butting heads at the moment, so it's kind of similar to the show as well.
True.
Helicopter.
Yeah.
That never showed up.
No, I think it will next week.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to tease that too long.
You can't. I mean, we saw it ages ago, originally, you know, when Rick first saw it. That's ages ago now.
That was a former season where they played the waiting game, whereas now they don't mess around, they just get on with the story.
Because they know we don't like it.
Yeah.
What I do like about The Walking Dead is that they do harp back on characters that we have lost. It's not sort of like, oh, this was terrible, you know, Glenn died, very sad, we'll have the next episode where we're sad again, and then we'll kind of move on. No, he keeps getting mentioned. He was mentioned heavily in this episode.
And that was brilliant foreshadowing, because they brought all these elements from the pilot back. So Rick White riding a white horse, Glenn being mentioned as saving him, there's no tank here, all this sort of stuff. Really got you thinking, you know, so it's bookending Andrew Lincoln.
It's bookending him, for sure. I think next week a lot of people will be quite sad.
I think next week we're going to see a lot of old cast members back. I'm hoping that we're going to get...
some flashbacks, yes!
Well, it's not flashbacks. Remember when Tyrese died and he had all those crazy lucid dreams and he was tripping out hardcore? I could see them doing a similar sort of thing of Rick going back through his past.
Carl's definitely there.
Carl will be there. I've heard that Shane may appear.
Do we need Laurie?
I'm not fussed.
Because Michonne's there to fill the romantic role.
Yep.
Herschel. Herschel. Have they filmed her? Did they film
they
Herschel?
They filmed
did?
Him before
he was part of
away.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm hoping for some Abraham.
Oh, please. And Glenn will be there, of course.
I hope so. They've been a lot more cagey on him, and I could see them not including him because he's more important to Maggie at this point in the story.
True.
But we'll see.
Look, if Denise is there, Glenn should be there as well.
Denise?
Just throwing out a name
that
I haven't thought about for a while. Spencer.
T-Dog.
Oh, yes.
The OG that nobody asked for.
Nobody asked for, a poor bloke.
Yep.
Feel sorry for him.
A lot of characters that we've lost.
Bob, yeah, he lost a leg for a while. Just have the governor there slow clapping as Rick walks into, I don't know, clouds.
Sure.
Beautiful moment.
Yeah, lovely.
Beautiful. I think that's going to do it for us for this episode.
It's a big one.
Spooky. Yeah, it's been a big one, but I think it's a good one.
It's a 50th anniversary special
issue.
You
have to make it this big if you want to celebrate.
Go big or go home.
Exactly.
And we're not recording at home.
No way. We're not comfy enough for that.
No, my feet are not on the table.
And I'm not wearing tracksuit pants.
I am.
Someone has to. Tom, thank you very much.